Father, your grace is so good and big and amazing, and we thank you for it. But words cannot do justice. At the same time, we pray that you would increase our knowledge of your grace and that we would share that love with others. That if we who call ourselves Christians really are followers of Jesus, that our love would stand out in this world and that people would be blessed by our love. They would be encouraged and healed. Lord, that we would be servants to others. And not just out of duty or obligation, but God, because you have blessed us so richly with your love and with your just grace and servanthood, Lord. Father, as I share about what the end of all things, or I guess it's not the end, but maybe the beginning of a new creation will look like, I pray that people will be encouraged, challenged, Lord. I pray that your spirit would just minister to us at this time. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is a final portion. Oh, I need my clicker. Sorry. Final portion of this series, Kingdom Story. And I've talked about the other side of eternity, heaven or the new heaven and the new earth, new creation, whatever you want to call it. And within Christendom, within the church, there's actually many views, somewhat different views on what happens kind of after all this is said and done. But there's a few things that everyone agrees on, and that is that Jesus returns. Jesus will return and reveal himself as a true King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. That's what we believe. He will reveal himself. And as he comes, he's going to basically inaugurate this new age, this eternal age of blessing and wonder and perfection and just infinite goodness. And a generic term for that would be like heaven, right? That's what people say. You die and you go to heaven, or after this life, there's heaven. And heaven, that word is used also by all people, Christians, non-Christians, theist, atheist. And that word is used in the sense of like, you know, when something's really good. Like if something, you know, you drink soda on a hot summer day and you say, that was heavenly. Right? So you guys understand, obviously. I've talked about this before, but I want to talk about it maybe from a different perspective, a slightly different perspective. And I'm going to go over a couple passages that I think what they do is they reveal to us something about God. And, you know, right, appropriately so, we're going to be looking at the book of Revelation. Now, where revelation means something's being revealed. And I think it's really important to have a glimpse of what will be revealed or what we are waiting for. There's really a lot of life is living in a hope or an expectation or waiting for something that will not hasn't happened yet. I think that's actually maybe a good way to describe the state that all of us are in. Is a state of waiting for something. Usually we're all waiting for something. Maybe the next stage in your career. Maybe to graduate and then move on to something else. And you know, maybe to, you know, the next stage of life, family life. You know, waiting to meet the one. You know, waiting for the weekend. I don't know. We're waiting. We're always waiting. And I think looking forward to something is really important. And it actually really defines a lot of who we are and how we live. And so I think this book is really important. And I think that's why it's called Revelation, because God reveals to us what is awaiting us. But what I noticed as I was studying Revelation, I kind of noticed, man, there's a couple things about God that this reveals that I think actually conflicts very strongly with how we actually perceive God. And so I'm going to talk about those things. And so we're going to first look at this. I'm going to read through this. This is Revelation 4. Don't worry, I'm going to read through it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to go over every single verse. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to there, Revelation 4. If not, you can look up here, Revelation chapter 4, starting from verse 6. Revelation chapter 4, it's the last book of the Bible. People always get excited if the pastor preaches on Genesis or Revelation, because they're like, yes, I know where that is, right? Okay, it's not funny. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." Okay, so we have this beautiful picture here. And this is written by the Apostle John, this guy named John, who received this vision. All right, and this genre that he's writing in to describe, you know, this genres of literature. Okay, and that's something that's really important when you read the Bible. Genre is super important. Okay? This genre is called apocalyptic literature, in which there's a lot of metaphorical language. There's a lot of imagery. Now, some people will say, no, I take this very literally. And that's fine. If you take it literally, I don't really care. All right? I see this as metaphorical, and it's describing this powerful image of what heaven will be like, where there are these majestic creatures that are just worshiping God. Holy, holy, holy. And I imagine John looking at these creatures, you know, the ones like, it looks like a lion, one's like an ox, one had a face like a man, the other was like a flying eagle. And I just, like, you know, I talked about this before, like, we see animals and we're very, like, amazed by them. Like, oxen are big and strong, and I remember, like, seeing a bunch of ox in the Philippines, you know, just on the side of the road, these oxen. I don't think they're technically oxen, but they're like ox, okay? And I remember being so amazed by them. And they're everywhere, but every time we drove by, I'm like, guys, look at that, look at it! And I think after a while, people are like, all right, dude, they're everywhere, man. But like, they're just cool. They have like big horns and big feet. And anyway, lion, right? You know, it's just these majestic animals. And I imagine the imagery here is like supposed to reflect this, like John maybe wanting to worship these creatures. They're these huge, amazing creatures. It's like, wow, that's the picture. It's like, these are amazing. But then they are worshiping something else, right? And not only, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then whenever these creatures do this, there's these 24 other guys, these elders. And elders, if you're an elder, it's a sign of like dignity and nobility and respect and honor. These really dignified men, 24 of them, people. And every time these creatures do that, they're like, yes, and they lay their crowns. These are some legit guys. They have crowns. They're like kings. But they lay them down, okay? And they're like, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." And so I think the message here is really simple and clear, actually. And it is this, that God is worthy. He is worthy of our ceaseless praise and worship. That's what He's worthy of. Do you really believe that, though? Do you experience that in your life? You know, let me explain what I mean by that. When I first read this, even sometimes if I read it now, you know what I think? This is my first response. This is my first response when I read this. Heaven sucks. I don't want to go to heaven. There's these monsters singing, and then these men throwing their crowns and worshiping. And what am I going to have? What is, I see here, okay, that means I'm going to have to like say something too. You are worthy. You are worthy, God. And I'm like, that's great. That's really great, God. That's what I have to look forward to. An eternity of doing that. Praise the Lord. Anyone in here who says that that's really fun and they're looking forward to that is a liar. Or you're weird. Okay? Or I really like you and I want you to be in the praise team because we need more people like that. Even the praise team's not like that, okay? Maybe David, I'm not sure. But I doubt it, okay? No one's like that. But we're thinking from the wrong perspective. Rather than thinking, man, heaven's going to be like that? That's what we're going to do? It should be like, God is that good? That's what I'm going to do? This is a description of what happens when you meet God. He's so good that you worship Him. It's like the automatic response. It's like, I feel like God, maybe He's like, hey, like, go do stuff. Like, go have fun. And you're like, no, there's no point. I just want to worship You. That's what the Bible's telling us. God is so good that your reaction to seeing Him will be that you just want to worship Him and worship Him and worship Him. Is that the God that you follow and pray to? Is that the God that you look forward to worship when you come to church on Sunday? Or whatever? Is that the God that you think of, loves you and is smiling upon you because of Jesus when you wake up in the morning and you go to work? Is that the God who's over your life and has your life under control? Is that the God who you believe is asking you to trust Him? And you have to make a decision daily. Do I trust Him? Is it Him who you want to worship? Like, that's not what you should do, but that's the response of seeing this guy, of seeing this being, of seeing this mighty, perfect God, is that people just fall down and worship. Do you know that God? I don't know. Do I know that God? Is that who I pray to? You know, when I'm having a hard time. I think that's something we really have to think about. And this picture here provides this great, I think, kind of mystery. Or what I mean by mystery is like, none of us have fully experienced this. And I think it's really healthy to be aware of that. I don't know God like this. And hopefully seek Him more. There's this mystery. There's this sense of not quite knowing yet. And that's really important to us. It's a powerful force. I pray that the mystery of who God is, like this reality that we haven't quite yet tasted, I pray that this would compel you and transform you and motivate you and inspire you to trust Him and to really live differently and live in freedom, live in hope. It's a mystery. Another word for it is kind of like hype. It's a powerful force. Like if a good movie comes out and a lot of people start talking about it, and you know, they're saying it's really great, people who have watched it, oh my, you know, like someone watches a movie and they're like, oh my goodness, epic. And you're like, dude, you get excited. You want to watch it. If they go to a nice restaurant and it's like, man, the food was amazing. It was just so good. You have to go. What happens? You want to go. It's like bugging you. It's like, dude, I want to go. You know, I think that's what Revelation is about. It reveals something about God. He's worthy of our worship. Like, we say that all the time. We just sung that. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. But we say that like, I know I'm supposed to say this. What if we told ourselves like, wow, what if He really is worthy of our worship? And not the boring, you know, lame, burdensome God that I actually follow. You know, the God that a lot of you guys believe in, who's pretty boring, wants you to do a bunch of stuff that you don't want to do, You know he wants to ruin your life. You know that. You know that he loves seeing you suffer. And at the end, you're done suffering and you have nothing and your life's a mess. And he's like, do you worship me now? And you're like, yeah, and that's God, right? Yeah, that God's really worthy of all our worship. That God is not God. Such a God is not worthy of worship. The God that just is creating burdens on your life and that you're running away from, that's not God. That's a God that you've created. That's a false God. That's an idol. We often think that idols are just the things that we like other than God. I think the biggest idol in your life is your false image of God. And God seriously wants you to break that relationship. Like really. He wants it so bad that he came down here and revealed himself. And he was like, I'm not like that. Look, I'm going to die on the cross for you. That's how much I love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to hang out with you. I'm going to love you even though you're so broken. And I know you have shame. I know you have guilt. I know you've made mistakes, but I love you. He gave us his word. He gave us written words to tell us he's worthy of our worship. Stop worshiping a false god. How foolish would it be, to illustrate how foolish this looks, or how foolish our lives often look, my life included in that. There's this, for those of you who haven't been going to our church long, or are new, there's this casino. It's called Paula. And a lot of our church people are really crazy about this place. You guys, I don't know if you know this, but I give myself credit. I don't know if I should for starting this craze. Because it's close to my... I used to live in Murrieta, or Temecula. It's like an hour away, and Paula's around there. A lot of people from the area go there and eat dinner, lunch, whatever, right? They have a great buffet. I told my buddy, Stephen, he's a youth pastor, about this place. I said, dude, they have great food. And I explained it. And he was like, we have to go. We have to go. And I was like, all right, man, we'll find a date. We went, and he was floored. He was blown away. You guys know this because he came in, and he was like, guys, it was lit. He did his whole thing. And actually, he didn't say that word at that time. I think he found out about the word like a couple weeks ago or so. He was super excited. He told everybody about it. And then the next prophet came along, Prophet Kim, David Kim. And this guy went all out, and he came along. We took him. We shared the glory. He broadcasted it to everybody, and people, just more and more people started going. And I know there's better restaurants, but for SoCal, for the distance and the price, it's great. It's a great little getaway. It's really awesome. People loved it. Remember the first time I went, they have a lobster buffet Tuesday and Thursday. The first time I went to lobster buffet, I had to wait in line like 2.5 hours. That's a long time. That's like Disneyland, Matterhorn, Friday night. I'm talking, okay? 2.5 hours. And I remember I'm like, oh my, I'm walking. I'm like, where does the line end? I'm walking. Those little like ropes where that protects the line. It like ends, but then there's still people. And literally just walking through the casino, and you're walking, and it's never like this anymore. But this was like a couple years ago, or a few years ago when I first went, and I just walked, and finally I reached the end of the line, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. I was like, this is insane. But I was like, whatever, we're here. I waited, and I was getting restless, so I'd walk up, and I peek into the front. And then you look in, you get a glimpse, and it's like, it's nice. It's very glamorous, and they did a really good job in the interior, and it's just like, wow. And like, you're peeking in, and then you see someone. You can't see the food, because it's like covered up. And then but you can see people eating. And you see a guy walking across, and he has his plate, and it's like, this stacked this high with crab legs. And the other plate has like prime rib, and then lobster tails, and all this good food. It's just walking by, and I was just like, oh my, it's so amazing just looking at that. And I was like, all right, I get back in line, and I waited. I waited, got there, ate the food, and it was amazing. I, even after the wait, all right? How ridiculous would it look if after having done that, or after having seen those guys eating that food, you saw me in line, and I'm sitting there in line, and let's say the line is actually like 4 hours long this time. And I get in line, and I say, whew, I'm glad the line is a little longer today. I'm glad it's longer than usual. I don't want to get in there too fast, you know? I don't want to eat that lobster. Ugh, God knows I want that. And as the line started moving, I was like, whoa, why, guys, you know, hey, take your time in there. Hey, we got plenty of time. We're not busy. Just take your time. Eat more. And then closer I got to the line, I was like, geez, hey, buddy, I look at the guy behind me. Hey, you want to go in first? I'm not ready to go in. And if David were with me in that line and I was holding him back with me, he would like, I hate to steal a phrase from you, David, but he would sock me in the face. Okay? He would get pissed, and rightly so. If David did that to me, I would punch him in the face. Okay? I'd be like, what are you doing? Let's go. And it's not exactly the same. I hope you guys get this illustration. It's not exactly the same, but in some ways it's even more real and even more ridiculous that we are so afraid and unwilling to experience what is awaiting us. If this is true. If this is true, if this is indeed true, it's incomprehensible that you're actually not excited, and rather you're wanting to extend your time in line, and you're like, this line is great, you know? Oh, the buffet, yeah, it looks pretty good, but nothing beats this line. How foolish would that be? Now, life on this side of eternity can be amazing. And God wants us to experience blessing and goodness. But if you don't believe that this is just the line, in fact, less than the line, that's really just, you know, preparing us for what's the actual meal. If you don't get that, you have a flawed and broken view of reality and of God, if you do indeed claim to be a Christian. Okay? If you say you're a Christian, but you have to realize, but you like this side better, something's wrong. Most of us are like that. And that's okay. But it's not something you should just think is normal or correct. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to have areas that we need to grow in. That's all of us. But please don't ignore that. And please don't think that you cannot grow in those areas. This text right here, if indeed true, you know what it's saying? It's saying everything that you cherish in this life, it's nothing compared to what's awaiting you. Because even after you've striven after all the things that you strive for, even after you've tried to experience all the pleasure and the joy that you're trying to get out of life, when you meet God, you're going to bow down and worship Him. That's what this shows us. And there's a present ramification as well. There's meaning for us right now, is that's how good God is. But you don't see Him like that, do you? You don't. Why is that? What kind of things contribute to that? I want to give you guys a few things that I think contribute to our false images of God. One is just poor interpretation of the Bible, / lack of study of the Bible, / lack of time spent trying to know God. You have, I hope some of you guys realize right now, oh man, my image of God is very inconsistent with how He wants to reveal Himself to us. If you guys are there, great. Step one. Step two, what should that lead you to do? hopefully it's like, man, I need to get to know him because I don't know him. And don't say, oh, okay, he's like that. Okay, got it. And live your life. I hope you're a little bit more introspective than that. I hope you're a little bit more aware than that. If this God really loved you the way that he says he loves you, and these promises that he has promised are really true, then if he's this good, does your life, does your attitude, does the way that you treat people, does the way that you treat your work and your finances, all these things, is it consistent with that truth? And if not, if your life doesn't reflect that this perfect God who's so good that when people see him, all they can do is worship and that he loves and cherishes you and calls you his child, if your love doesn't reflect that, then you have a false image or at least a somewhat broken or somewhat, you know, a wrong image of God. To a certain extent, it's wrong. And for some of us, the amount that is wrong is maybe larger than others. It's okay. But first up, you got to admit that. And hopefully that makes you want to get to know him. Study the Bible a little bit more and a little bit more faithfully. Not as like this child's playbook. Just read a couple verses and whatever, I don't get this. Guys, let's be real. And I can say this in here because all of you guys are really smart. And please don't say I'm not smart. Okay? You guys have and education, and opportunities, and you guys have learned things that most of the world cannot, and doesn't have access to. That you can even read puts you ahead of many people. And many people in Jesus' time. Most people. Many people for a lot of history. Okay? Dude, this is an ancient text written to an ancient people. Does not mean it's a mystery that can never be understood. But if you're going to study it faithfully. Have you guys ever thought of doing that? Like actually studying the Word of God, not just like, I'm going to read a page a day. Maybe taking some time to read some books that'll help you understand a little bit more. You know, not only that, believing in like the spiritual side of things and being super intentional, just being like, God, like, help me to understand this more by your Spirit. You know, help me, because I know this is not just for scholars. It's for anybody. Help me to understand who you really are. And take some time. Take some time and invest in that. You don't have to be perfect right away. But hopefully this kind of stirs you up a little bit and moves something in you. All right? Secondly, I think our experiences, our past experiences in our lives often taint or skew our images of God or how we perceive God. You know, some tragedy happened in your life. I'm very sorry. I don't know how you felt. I'm not going to act like I know how you felt. I'm not going to act like it's not a big deal. Even little things that have happened to you. I know things hurt. And I know they have shaped a lot of your image of God. But I hope that his word and his Spirit helps you to understand that your image of God is indeed wrong. And so you can try to resolve some of these things. And you can talk to God and ask him these questions like, God, where were you? Or God, why did you allow this to happen? Because guess what? I believe with all my heart, he wants you to have peace over all those bad things that have happened in your life. He's not hiding and saying, I don't know what to say, just let's not talk about it. He wants to talk to you about it. Maybe he wants to say, I'm so sorry that that happened. Bad things happened in this life, but I never left you, and I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to use those things, because he promises us in the Bible that God will use everything, even the worst things that have happened in our life, for our good. He'll turn those things around, and he's saying, look, I know bad stuff happened in this world, but I can turn that around. Talk to him about those things. Have peace. And don't tell me, oh, I have peace, and just say a memory verse. Like, do you genuinely have peace? Have you genuinely forgiven people who've hurt you? Are you, like, over it? And Asian people, guys, not just Asian people, especially modern-day people, we love to just cover up emotions. We love to say, I'm over it. It's cool. No, I'm cool. When inside we're like, we're not. We're dying. That's our culture. You're broken. You're insecure. You're scared. You're empty. But you're going to post these pictures online of your life being amazing because that's what you want people to know about you. When inside you're a lost, broken little kid. Stop doing that. Deal with this stuff. Talk to God about it. How? Like, seriously, just talk to Him. Talk to other people. Talk to people who know God, who love God. Help them. Ask them to help you to navigate through these things. Like, let it out. It's freeing. Do it. And I'll just say one more thing. Thirdly, imperfect parenting. Your parents, usually, probably, I don't know, a lot of times, I think for many of us, our parents are actually the people who love us more than probably most or any people in our lives will, other than probably our spouses and our own families. They're up there. Okay, so I'm not trying to just like bash on our parents. But they are imperfect. Some more than others. If you don't know that, you're lying to yourself, okay? And here's the thing. I know there's a reason. God tells us to call Him what? Father. He says we're His children. I think God made us. And for those who are going to be parents, and who want to be parents, I hope you take this seriously. I think God made us to mold our image of Him first, and maybe foundationally, through our parents, how our parents treat us. And whether you agree with me or not, it happens, and it's probably the case for almost all of us. How you view God is probably how you view your mom or dad. And how you relate with God is probably really similar to how you relate with your mom and dad. And that's probably why for a lot of us, it's like, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, mom, I'll see you next week. It's going to be awesome. But it's like, do you love your mom? Of course I love her. Do you love your dad? Of course I love my dad. So do you want to hang out with him? No. Isn't that our relationship with God in a nutshell? You're so afraid to say that you don't love Him, really, or that your relationship with Him is really messed up. You're so afraid because He's your heavenly Father after all. Just like you would be so ashamed and scared to tell someone, like, honestly, I hate my mom. Like, when I think about her, I get stressed out. She's a burden. We're afraid to say those things because we know it's wrong. That's probably how you view God. That's probably your image of God. And I'm sorry for that. But guess what? God is not like that. God is not your parents. Your parents probably love you a lot, and I don't know what you guys have gone through. But guess what? No matter how much they do love you, God's love is perfect, and it's far greater. It's far greater. It's this good. It's Revelations for good, where when you meet Him, you will want to do nothing else but just worship Him and worship Him. That's how good He is. And so I encourage you guys, just to end, examine your lives. Examine your heart. Take this seriously. You know, I don't mind if people in here are at different stages in their lives. I don't mind if someone's in here and they're like, I don't care, Daniel, what the church is doing. I just don't care. But I come here for whatever reason, like, because I don't know, something brings me here. I still want to learn, but I'm not really sold on any of the other stuff. Like, I don't, serving, like, why? I'm busy. I don't care if you're like that. I don't care if you just don't know yet. You just are in a bad place. Maybe you're struggling with stuff. Maybe you don't believe. It's fine. I don't care if you're struggling with sin. It's okay. We all are. But the one thing that would break my heart, and I pray that our ministry would never become, is a place full of fake people who are blind to themselves and were blind to their relationship with God. People who are lost and are so broken and in sin, and instead of saying like, but this is where I'm at and I'm honest, we're like, I'm so good and I'm so holy and everything's fine. If you're at the stage where like, you know that you should, you want to be in a good place with God, you really want to follow Him, then I hope you can be at least someone who's honest and you can say, I'm really struggling. And like, care. Or if you don't care, then just say it. Say, I don't care and I don't think, don't be afraid to say this, guys. I don't think I'm a Christian. Because I just don't care. It's okay to say that. God's not like, all right, where are the Christians at? You, are you a Christian? Oh, yes? Okay, do you think he's that? That's how we view God. It's like, come on. Why are our views of God so small and so, like, just pathetic? Is God that pathetic? He knows, man. Stop being fake. And stop running away from stuff. Maybe I'm talking directly to someone in here right now. Your view of God is like 99% wrong. And you have two choices to respond to that. One is to say, I don't care. And at least if that's the case, tell yourself that and be honest with yourself and say, I don't care. And maybe you'll care about that, at least about that. Or you can say, I'm not trying to say one's better or worse. This is just where people are at. I just want you guys to be honest. Or you can say, man, my view of God is 99% wrong. But I know that that's not where I want to be. And so do something. Pray. Like, it's so easy. Just pray. All I have to do is just be honest. Say, God, please help me. You know, you don't have to become a better person because you can't. But at least know who you are and be honest with yourself. You know, that's the first step to changing. And I think that's what God wants. He's just looking for people who are honest with themselves. I think when you come to Him, just say, God, this is where I'm at. Can you help me? Man, He loves that. So I invite you guys, just join me right now, just for a minute. Just close your eyes and just pray with me. Take a minute and just say, God, respond to Him however you want and just say a short, honest prayer to Him. I'll just give you guys 10 seconds to do that. Just one sentence. And then I'll pray for you and we'll close our service. God, please awaken those of us who are, awake those of us who are asleep. God, even if we're struggling or maybe we're just, you know, we're lost, help us to at least be aware of this. Help us to care. And God, I think everyone who's in here at least wants to care. Please help us, God, free us from our apathy. I hope that this reality that probably for a lot of us, the way that we relate with you and that we would perceive you is actually really skewed. I hope that would stir up a little bit of something inside of us, God. That we would want to actually seek you and know you. But God, a lot of us are weak. I'm weak. Help us, God. Give us conviction. Not just emotion, not just inspiration for a moment. God, give us conviction. Give us truth, a feeling of truth in our hearts where we know that maybe something's wrong and or something needs healing. Or God, that you're addressing something in our hearts and that in your love, you just want to Minister to us in grace. Lord, remove fear from us, please, God. A lot of us hide because we're afraid. God, help us know we don't have to be afraid, that you meet us where we are and you have love for us, God. And I pray that we'd experience that and share that love today as a continuation of this truth and as a way for us to seek you more, is that we just love each other and be serving to each other, be friendly to each other today, God. Help us, Lord. Bless the rest of our day, Father. I just pray that all that we do together would be meaningful, that you would use it, and it would just be a time of healing. It would be a time of just of blessing, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.